2 Corinthians 12, verse number 7, Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. You might want to underline that, the abundance of the revelations. There was given unto me, or given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. That's what the thorn was. It wasn't sickness. It was the word messenger is the Greek word translated angel in other places. And so it's a demon, fallen angel, which is a demon of Satan, to buffet me. If you read the 11th chapter, he lists a few short descriptions of some of that buffeting. And so, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, people have said that this thing came to him lest he be exalted in pride. They thought that the exalting was pride. Well, think about it then. According to that then, Satan sent a little imp to just keep on buffeting Paul to keep him out of getting in pride. Does Satan want to keep you out of pride? No, he knows why he fell is because his heart was lifted up in pride. And that's why he was kicked out of heaven. He's not trying to keep you out of pride. He's trying to get you into pride. So that just doesn't hold any water with me. This exalted above measure, verse 7, look at the first part. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Now notice, through the abundance of revelations. Now, if you go back to the first verse, it's expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows how he was caught up into paradise. And heard unspeakable words, which was not lawful for a man to utter. That's where he got the revelations. He said in chapter 12, verse 1, I'll come to visions and revelations. He got those revelations, some of them, and then others other ways, other times, but through this being caught up, that he had an experience of being caught up in a visitation from God. And his spirit most likely went to heaven, and he received these things that he teaches in Ephesians and Romans and Galatians and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and all these things that we call it the Pauline revelation. And he communicated it to us through letters and to those in his day through his traveling preaching ministry. And Satan was opposing that message. He was opposing that revelation. Because the revelation, which was given by God, Satan wasn't giving him the revelation. It was given by God. The revelation was exalting Paul. The revelation. Now, if you look up the word exalted here, it means to go beyond the usual mark. So, lest Paul go beyond where most Christians go because of further revelation, Satan was trying to stop him. He was sending, if you look at the 11th chapter, you can read it. I mean, storms to try to sink his boat, people trying to stone him, to kill him. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Left for dead. You know, Paul, everywhere Paul went, he got some R&R. He had revival and he had riots.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the devils would stir up the Jews against him. Try to kill him, people taking vows. We're not going to eat again until Paul's dead. You can read it all in the 11th chapter. I mean, perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils of the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. He went on, and that's just one verse. I could read to you the whole chapter. Spiritual warfare and opposition of the enemy is against revelation knowledge. It's not really against you per se. It's against God's trying to get to you. Because that revelation will take you further, make you more of a success in the kingdom of God, and cause you to reach more people, set more people free, and to walk victorious in ways other Christians aren't walking victorious. You'll know the truth, and the truth will do what? Make you free. Praise the Lord. So that's what Paul's talking about. And Satan didn't just, roll over and say, well, Paul's getting revelation. I wish it wouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is. No, he had demons assigned to Paul. A messenger of Satan that was given unto me, not by God. I mean, if the devil's against us and God's against us too because he sends devils to oppose us, we may as well just say uncle right now. We cannot win against the devil and God. If both of them are against us. No, God didn't send this. There was given to me this messenger of Satan. It was Satan that assigned this thing to him. Amen. In other words, Paul's picture was on the post office in hell. They had his picture pinned up there and they threw darts at it every day. You throw darts at it, They hated Paul. They hated, it wasn't about Paul though, it was the revelation. And Paul would not quit. He would not stop preaching it. He would not shut up. He wouldn't stay dead. Because one time they surrounded him and they left him for dead and the church surrounded him and he rose up and said, let's go into the next city. I'll tell you, you trust God and you obey God and you understand the authority of the believer and you walk in the revelation God's given to you. The devil can try to put you behind a brick wall, and because you've got faith, you're coming through. Yes, sir. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So, Revelation now. Go to the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. We've been over here. I'm just going to talk about I'm going to share some things out of my heart that I've been contending in faith for and get you on board, agreeing with me for some things, and also explain why some things are coming against some of you. And so, Revelation chapter 4, and also how to win. How many of you like that part? How to prevail. Revelation 4, verse 1. We've been looking at this, last month or so. It says in verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. I believe that was Jesus. You look in the previous few chapters, also Jesus' voice sounded like a trumpet. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Underline that, show thee things. That's revelation. In other words, come up. Come up into heaven. This is a similar experience that Paul had. And I want to reveal some things to you. And he gave him the whole book of Revelation. And immediately, verse 2, I was in the Spirit. Notice where these revelations are received. I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon it. And we won't look at it, we could read the whole book, and there's a whole lot that was revealed. But I just wanted you to see how this experience came. He got over into the Spirit, and there was a door opened to go through that door and get further revelation. All right. Now go to one more passage, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Just laying a foundation for where we're going. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 9. Don't think that, let me just remind you of the experiences you've had when you first came to Spirit of Faith Family Church. There were assigned things to you to try to get you out of this more revelation. Just because you're still here doesn't mean it still doesn't try to. It's not about you. It's nothing personal. It's not about me. I'm a nice guy. That was a bad time to be quiet. But it's about a real true revelation, knowledge of God and how to live victorious. 1 Corinthians 16:9. I just want to read this before we comment some further comments. Verse 9 says, a great door and effectual, great and effectual door, Amplified says of opportunity for further ministry or something like that. I can't remember how it says it, but a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. So can you see that, first of all, there's different kinds of doors. There's opportunities for service. There's, we saw two verses where there was a door open for further revelation. Remember Brother Hagin said the Lord gave him experience after a time of praying the Ephesians 1 prayer. I don't know, 6 months was it, or however, 4 months? He said after a period of time, he said praying it daily for many days. I mean, for many times daily. He said, then the Lord said to him one time after that, he said, I'm going to take you on to visions and revelations of the Lord. And he said, the revelations began. And he said to his wife, what have I been preaching? He said, I'm getting so much revelation. Have I been making any sense before I started getting this revelation? What have I? It's too bad the deacons didn't come and get me. Say, you need to get in and out of the rain. You're not making any sense. He said he got so much revelation as a result of praying that. That is almost like he hadn't even preached the word yet. And then he said the visions began coming in 1950. And if you know and remember the visions that began to come, the visions brought most all of them. There were some for him personally regarding his ministry, you know, so forth and so on. But most all of them, especially the ones he talked about, brought further revelation of the word. Now listen, it's all in line with the written word. Because remember, in one vision, he said, the Lord said to him, I'll give you the whole story in a minute, but if you hadn't dealt with that demon and commanded him to shut up in the name of Jesus, I couldn't. And Brother Hagin said, I can't accept that. I'm seeing you in an open vision, but I cannot accept that unless I see it in the Word. And I need to see it in mouth of two or three witnesses, every word be established. You know, I guess some of us, we'd think that'd make Jesus mad, but he smiled. Brother Hagin said he smiled so sweetly, and he said, I'll do you better. I'll give you four. Yeah. And he gave him, you remember, James, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Whom resists, first Peter, steadfast in your faith. Doesn't tell us to pray to God to do anything, where to do it. Then, you know, the Matthew account where Jesus, you know, before he left to go to heaven, he said, you know, they'll exercise authority. These signs will follow them that believe, you know. Mark's account and Matthew's account. Mark says they'll cast out demons. Or exercise authority over demons. And he gave him all these scriptures, remember? And finally, Brother Hagin said, well, I have to accept it then. You know? Well, those visitations brought further revelation of the word. Jesus showed Brother Hagin when he appeared to him in that visitation, visited him for an hour and a half, and said, I'm going to talk to you about devils, demons, and demon possession, and how the devil works. And how to deal with them, how to cast them out. Isn't that right? And we have gotten so much revelation of the authority of the believer. It was in the Word the whole time. In fact, it was in the body of Christ to a small degree. There was, I traveled, I was just telling some of my pastor friends in California this, so I'm kind of, I guess I've just thought of it because I just remembered it. But before we were married, I was going to Rhema, of course, and I had a roommate that was asked, because Rhema established a library of books, and they had a section called, what was that called, the Pentecostal Archives or something. Anyway, old books on the Holy Spirit, healing, and there was another, maybe faith, I think. But anyway, that you had to have a certain pass to go into. It's climate-controlled old books. It proved that this revelation was in degree in the body of Christ back through the 1700s, 1800s, and things like that. But anyway, my roommate, what I was began to say was my roommate at the time, he was the one that the Hagins hired to go travel. He traveled all over the United States. I'll never forget, he had a small, what year was it? I can't remember. Anyway, it was a powder blue Volkswagen Rabbit diesel. It was those square box ones. You remember those Volkswagen Rabbits? And I mean, it's that diesel going, we're going down the road. And I mean, he went by himself most of the time, but I meant this one trip. I went with him one trip. And but he went all over the country in that car, put on, I don't know how many, 150,000 miles or something on that car, and pretty much sold it for junk after that. But went all over and found books in these old bookstores. And I went with him one weekend. And I never forget that weekend I went with him. We were looking, and he said, let me pray for you because there's an anointing to find these books. I said, here I am. He said, Lord, help him in the name of Jesus. And I started finding books. I mean, you'd be going through old religious book sections and you'd pull one out and you just get an unction and you start turning pages. It's like, oh yeah, show this to him. So I'd show it to him. Anyway, but to make a long story even longer, I'll never forget it. On that trip, we found one book, and I was trying to remember the lady's name. I can't remember the lady's name, who wrote a book. I think it's like 1880s, something like that. And we found it on, he actually found the book on that trip, just a couple shelves down from where I was. I was so wishing I had found that book. But he found the book, and he said, he was driving to the next bookstore, and he said, read out of that. He said, that one really jumped out at me. We were reading it, and we thought to ourselves, oh my goodness, this sounds just like Brother Hagin. If I remember right, it was 1880s. Old book. You know how those old books are, yellow pages and everything. And man, we got to reading that, and this lady was obviously a prophet and obviously had revelation of faith and the authority of the believer. And so when we got back to Rhema, we sent that book up to, we didn't put that one in the library. We sent that book up to Brother Hagin, and it never got into the library. Brother Hagin kept that one. It fed his spirit. Amen. Well, what am I saying? That revelation is not, it's not something new that never existed before. It's in the Bible. It was in there all along. Paul had it. Peter had it. James had it. They all said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
Come on, amen.
They had that revelation, but see, through the dark ages, it was lost. But throughout history, people got it. But it never got out right. See, Satan opposes that message getting out. And actually, I was amazed at studying. Even I grew up in the Mennonite church. I was amazed at Menno Simons. He's the one that founded the Mennonite church. Menno Simons had healings in his early days. It's amazing, these denominations. They all started out believing like we believe. Let's not be like them and lose what we believe. The Methodists, I mean, John Wesley and Charles Wesley and those guys. John Wesley had such powerful in his meetings that they didn't have them indoors. There's so big a crowd. They had them outdoors in city parks and stuff. And before he'd start preaching, he'd say, you young fellas up in that tree up there, before I start preaching, you get down out of that tree, because the power of God will fall and you'll fall out of that tree. That's pretty good for Methodists. But see, that's where all these denominations started out. Well, I didn't intend to get into all that, but whenever Jesus appeared and said, I want to teach you about devils and demons, demon spirits, that's not something new that's never been preached before. It was in the Bible all along. And so those experiences were given to bring further revelation. Jesus also appeared to him and said, I want to talk to you about the prophet's office. Remember? And there's so many things. If you go back to where the revelation began to come to him, it was in these experiences, just like Paul had. Well, let me ask you a question. Has God gone out of the visitation business? Has God revealed everything that he knows? Well, if he has, we certainly haven't got it. Amen. I said we. Don't get offended. I was talking about myself. There's more. The Lord said to me one time, I don't know, probably 15 years ago, further revelation is coming to the body of Christ concerning the authority of the believer. Well, what are we doing about that? Twiddling our thumbs and saying, well, we're just waiting on God. No, somebody's got to press in for it and contend for it. Amen. Hallelujah. I've been saying in prayer, thank you, Father, for opening unto me these doors. Now, I'm not just praying for myself. I pray that for the whole body. Grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Further revelation. Pastor Nancy prophesied concerning 2019, and there's a whole lot more to it than I'm going to get into. I'm just emphasizing one thing tonight. One of the things she said is, it's a new day of stepping into places in the spirit that will bring you into a greater flow. Hallelujah. Now, back in Russia in May, we were there preaching with Pastor Nancy. We went along with her meeting, but she just invited us to come and graciously and asked us to minister. Such a blessing. But after, I think it was the last service, whatever it was, May 5th, she ministered to, I believe, all of us ministers that went with her, if I remember right. But anyway, I remember her ministering to Pastor Debbie and I. This is what she ministered to me. Doors, doors, doors. large opening to large rooms of revelation. Revelation that is necessary. These rooms have reserved signs on the door. These rooms of revelation have reserved signs on the door, for they are reserved for the last days era. No other previous generation could access these rooms because they were assigned to this last day era. You're invited in. You're invited in. And as far as you go into that room is determined by you, not by the Father. Because He's opened the door to you. Now go in and access as much as you have faith for. Amen. Well, I don't know how God wants to reveal it. I mean, it could just be while I'm sitting studying the Word. It just starts coming off the pages and so forth. But as I study, and listen, we need to give ourselves to that kind of meditation of the Word. I'm getting somewhere. We need to give ourselves to that kind of meditation of the Word. Because as we do that, that reverent attitude of the Word gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity, really, to give our spirits understanding of these spiritual truths He's wanting to get across to us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But that's not what this is talking about. I'm going to talk to you about my prayer life tonight. Amen. That is not what this is talking about. That this is not something that will be revealed in the teacher's office. This is something that will happen as a result of being brought into the Spirit and given it by the Spirit, not by study. Amen. Now, I'm not opposed to, you know, like I just said, we need to study. We need to meditate on the Word. We need to do that because the Bible teaches that. And some things will come that way. But some things will not come that way. Some things didn't come to Brother Hagin that way. Some things that didn't come to Dr. Dufresne that way. Some things aren't coming to Pastor Nancy that way. You say, why do you mention those three? Because the Lord told me in an experience I had with Him, they're the three you pattern your life after.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He said to me, He said, you're invited into every one of the rooms that they're invited into. I had a dream and the Lord showed me that. Very specific dream. I talked to you about it, some of you about it. Dr. Dufresne, Brother Hagin, and Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy were going from place to place in this dream, ministering, and ministering healing, ministering by revelation, so forth. And I'm standing there watching with another person, and I'm watching as they go. And they would go to another place, and I would sometimes take a step, and I thought, well, I don't know if I'm invited to go. Pastor Nancy would turn around, and she would see I wasn't coming. She'd get me by the arm, and she'd pull me. She'd say, come. And they'd go to another place and they would minister. A leg would grow out. Something would happen. Revelation gifts, things would happen. And I'm like, whoo, this is all in the dream. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, this is wonderful. And they left there, went to go to somewhere else. And I don't think I'm invited to go there. They went, took a few steps. Pastor Nancy, it's always interesting to me that Pastor Nancy was the one that turned around and brought me along. I didn't know at that time Dr. Dufresne was going to heaven. But it was before Dr. Dufresne went to heaven that I had the experience. And she turned around, saw I wasn't coming, and she grabbed me, and stand up, brother. And when she would grab me, face the crowd, when she would step up here, this would be a little easier up here. When she would grab me, she wouldn't just come grab me and kind of pull me along. She grabbed me sort of like that. Thank you. In other words, no reluctance to this. Amen. I'm getting bold tonight, but see, I'm soliciting your help in something. Because I have been praying since Russia, really. I have been praying about this like I have never prayed about it before. I've been calling for the revelations that belong to this era like never before. It has been coming into my spirit stronger and stronger. It has been coming in travail. The Spirit of God has been having me call for this. I'm not just calling for it for myself. If you know anything about spiritual things, you don't lust after this. Because we already read, by the doors there are adversaries. That's what I want to talk to you tonight. Those adversaries are already showing up. for the first time since we left Rhema, the adversity in the spirit realm against us, and it's trying to manifest a little bit in some of the congregation. The adversity is at the level now that it was when we left Rhema. It has now returned to that level. Listen, are you there? Because the Lord said to me, back out of what you've been operating in when on the road before I came here. And he said, back out of it because you're not ready to handle that level of flowing in the Spirit and operating in revelation gifts. That is opposed by the spirit realm, by Satan, and you're not ready for that yet. He said, back out of it. And then he said, I want you to pastor. I want you to raise up a prayer group to begin to pray. And you need to be skilled. You need to be trained. You need to grow spiritually. I'm talking about me, but I need to grow spiritually. And get into position to where I'm ready, because God wants to take me back out into that, to where I'm ready, so that whenever I go out into that, I'm not taken out by it. Because that's the kind of stuff it is. It's take you out kind of stuff. That's why some intense things have been coming against some of you. Temptations to be offended like you haven't experienced for years. It's not about you. It's getting you, it's to hold you out of the spirit, bring you, keep you out of the supply that you have to form a circle of faith around this ministry, so we can get back out into some things and bring our supply to the body of Christ. Amen. So there, in California, we were out there for whatever, 8 days, 9 days or whatever. After two days, I told Pastor Debbie, I said, see, when you start making connections in the body that are going to bring a supply to you to help you in that place, boom, there's darts thrown at that. I mean, stuff comes. I'm not trying to glorify the devil tonight. I told the Lord before I left, I don't want to glorify the devil tonight. I just need people to understand and not play spiritual games and not be just focused, you know, distracted right now, but in the spirit, dealing with these things with us. And I told Pastor Debbie, I said, after 2 days, I said, I am under, and she doesn't, I mean, she kind of looked at me funny because I don't talk like this. I said, I am under intense attack. The bombardments against my mind. Have you ever wanted to just run and hide and nobody knew where you went? Take whatever you've ever experienced along that line, crank it up about 100 times, and that's what I was dealing with out there. Intense. And I said, I need your agreement. I said, I'm not asking you to do it for me. I know what to do. I know how to. Do you know why the book, is it this month, the Answer It book, the book of the month? Which one was it? Was that last month? Do you know why that book is out there and being put in your hands saying, listen to this right now? It's because if you don't learn this, we're not getting into these doors of revelation. You're going to have to learn to answer it. I told Pastor Debbie, I know how to answer this. I know how to deal with this. So I'm not asking you to do it for me. I said, I'm more skilled than I've ever been in this. I said, but I just need your agreement right now. Thank God for husbands and wives. We can get in agreement. And I said that night I went to bed and I spoke to the devil and I got off to sleep. I woke up, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning or something. Wham, there it is. That demon. I don't mean I saw him. I mean those yakety yak yak, yakety yak yak, yakety yak yak, yakety yak yak. And I said, all right. I said, I'm not living this way. I refuse to live tormented. This is not the life God ordained for me. I will not live this way. I lived that way for 3 years in Tulsa because I was unskilled. I'm not going through this 3 years because I'm not dealing with this correctly. This was before Pastor Nancy preached what she preached Tuesday night. Was it Tuesday night? I said, I'm not doing this, not living it. I said, all right, this is it. And I spent an hour and a half dealing with that thing, drawing up out of my spirit and speaking like the Lord told me to. Somebody said, why'd it take an hour and a half? I don't know, maybe you're more skilled than I am. But after an hour and a half, whew, it left. And I went back, slept like a baby and didn't deal with that for the rest of the week. Just thank God. I mean, oh, I've been in torment and I've been in peace, and peace is better. So, but when I got home, it was standing there. And I've just been saying, no, you're not. No, you're not. And there's been little things trying to creep up in people in the church. Little, it's like you're living like on the edge of irritation, sort of wanting to just slip over into being mad and blowing up. That's what you're dealing with. It's in the spirit realm. That's not the life God ordained for you to live. Amen. Amen. Now, remember in the vision Brother Hagin had, where Jesus said to him, I referred to it a while ago, he said, I'm going to teach you about devils, demons, and evil spirits. And at the end of that, a demon spirit came running up and put up what he said was like a smoke screen and said, yakety yak yak, yakety yak yak, yakety yak yak. And Brother Hagin couldn't see Jesus. He couldn't hear Jesus. You remember that? And he was thinking in the vision, he's thinking, why doesn't Jesus do something about that? I'm not getting what he's saying. I got to get what he's saying. Doesn't he know I'm not getting? Surely he knows I'm not getting what he's saying. Surely he sees this thing here. Surely he, you know, what's he? Why is he not dealing with it? And finally, out of desperation, you remember Brother Hagin said, in the name of Jesus, shut up. And the thing fell and lay on the floor whimpering, you remember? And finally, Brother Hagin said, and not only that, but get out of here. And he ran away. And then Jesus made that statement to him, if you hadn't have done anything about that, I couldn't have. And that's whenever he said, I'm not hearing you right. Remember that? And he said, I need scriptures. And I just gave you those, some of the scriptures he gave him. Well, what we need to understand is that is not just, how would I say it? That's not just something that just happened to Brother Hagin. That's something that happens to every one of us. When you spend time, see, Brother Hagin's in the spirit getting revelation. When you spend time in the spirit, one of the enemy's strategies is to throw up things to distract you, hinder you, the voices yakety yak talking to you. And that's what I was experiencing in California. I didn't have the vision Jesus gave Brother Hagin. I didn't have that. But it was the same thing. Yakety yak. Yeah. I mean, just thoughts of intimidation, harassment, inferiority, failure, fear. Fear, strong fear. Just yakety yak yak. Same thing. Why? Opposing the revelation. Opposing the connections that are needed in the body of Christ. Amen. Same strategy. Try to hold you out of that place where you get the answers you need. You get the direction you need for your life. You get the revelation you need to really succeed. Here's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to make the connection between getting further revelation and that further revelation brings opposition. Remember, Satan comes for the word's sake, Mark 4. He comes for that revelation. So he wants you to make the connection. That's whenever the opposition comes. It's because of the revelation. So he wants you to make that connection and say, oh, okay, well, in that case then, I'm backing out of the revelation. Exactly what he wants you to do. Because that's what he's trying to stop. The furtherance of the revelation in your heart and mind and other people that you will affect. Y'all still out there? That's what he's trying to do. Hallelujah. It's understanding, isn't it? It's clearer than maybe we've thought. Now, Ephesians 6 tells us in verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is a prayer of watching in the Spirit. And this is part of what is necessary in order to receive the revelation that God wants to give. Amen. Now, during these times of watching, Satan will throw all kinds of fiery darts at you. He'll try to distract you. He'll try to stir up family problems. He'll try to stir up financial problems. He'll try to oppose you through carnal people. He'll try, your mind will scream at you. Your body will squirm. You'll be distracted by all sorts of things that'll come up. Pastor Nancy described it out there whenever she, right before she picked up Brother Copeland from the airport, a lawsuit was filed against. Well, it doesn't sound like it was filed against them. It filed against somebody that they were a co-file. I don't know how it all worked, but it's not my business. I don't really. But see, that's what that was for, trying to distract. Distract. Oh, I got to deal with this whole week. No, you don't. You give yourself to getting the revelation.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
You got to stay in the Spirit. You've got to keep your attention on what you're believing God for. And right now, what I'm believing for is these get into these doors of further revelation.
Amen.
Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
So now you know what's coming against some of you. When you spend time in the Spirit, there are all kinds of things thrown against you to keep you from getting the revelation. That's what came against Paul, the messenger of Satan. What was that? All those trials, tribulations, so forth, what were they designed to do? What was that messenger of Satan? That's that demon of spirit. What was he there for? He was there to try to keep Paul in the flesh and in the mind and not get into the Spirit, because that's where the revelation comes.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, it's all designed to keep you out of the Spirit, keep your attention off what God's saying, to keep you from getting God's message. Amen. What God's saying to you. And really, to keep you from entering into the Spirit, well, you'll be exalted through that revelation. You'll go further than you were in life, ministry, effectiveness in the kingdom of God, bringing your supply. Amen. So he wants to try to hold you out of that. But now that we know his strategies, let's not fall for it.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, we're not going to fall for it. It's the revelation that makes you successful against the strategy. Somebody said, well, I'm not going to back out of the revelation then. Well, that's guaranteed defeat. You're not going to hear, well done, faithful servant. You got to keep pressing. The way to victory is get through it. The adversary is by the door. What do you think he's there for? To keep you from getting into the door. To keep you getting into the further revelation. But it doesn't work on us anymore. We're not ignorant of his devices. And we don't put our attention on that. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. And let's notice it says here in verse number 2 and 3, looking unto Jesus. Talks about seeing there's this cloud of witnesses compass us about, talking about all the ones that went before us. Lay us out every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Here's what came against him, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, the way you get to him sitting down on the throne of God, that's his rightful place. That's the place God intended for him to be all along.
Yes. Yes.
To sit down as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, at God's right hand, and so forth and so on. That's the exalted position God planned for him. But let's guess what? It's also God's plan for you to sit there with him. And Satan, just like coming against Jesus, will send things to distract you. Amen. To keep you from getting into your rightful place, whether it be in ministry, whether it be in revelation, whether it be in God using you like he really intended for you. But notice how Jesus got through it all, not by putting his attention on it. The Bible says in the Amplified, looking, King Jesus didn't just, King James says, how does it say it there? Looking away. The Amplified says, looking away from all that will distract unto Jesus. King James just says, looking unto Jesus. Amplified says, looking away from all that will distract. While you're moving towards the place God has for you in life or ministry or whatever, fulfilling your course, bringing your supply, walking in revelation, not being defeated and taken out by the devil, or his strategies, getting you to back out because of the yakety-yak-yak. The way you get past it is the same way Jesus got past it. Jesus got past it by looking through it to what was on the other side. And you've got to get skilled at that. The whole time the yakety, somebody said, pray for me that the devil would shut up. Well, why don't you deal with him and tell him to shut up? You're going to have to learn this skill. Get good at it. Get good at continuing to walk forward while there's yakety, yak, yak, yakety. You're a failure. Nobody loves you. They're not going to. Look right through it unto Jesus. That's how you take your rightful place in the Spirit. And that's how I'm going to get into the rightful place of revelations. Hallelujah. Running my race. You know what this means here when it says, verse 1, it says, laying aside every weight and run with patience the race is set before us. That means running the race is set before you means achieving the full plan of God. Entering into every phase of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. The shield of faith, Jesus, or Ephesians 6:17, take the shield of faith. You can quench all these fiery darts. That shield of faith, the way you quench those things that are hurled at your mind, all the yakety yak yak, is you take up the shield of faith saying, answering. You have to speak to it. That's what the answer book is all about. It's one of the revelations that belongs to this era. So when we said it's the book of the month, what did you do with it? I'm not accusing anybody. Maybe everybody read it. But I'm just saying, did you count it as the very thing that will get you through? Did you take it for what? Why did we put that book out there and say, read this? Read this. Everybody read this. We're saying to you, things are coming. You're going to have to be skilled at answering it. Don't do like you used to. Just get quiet and hope it goes away and maybe I'll make it through. That won't cut it on this level. Amen. Now, the thing that happened in California that I noticed so often, happened in so many times whenever these things come, is that not only is there a voice in the spirit realm talking to you, you know, like fear, voice of failure, you're not going to succeed, you know, all of these things. Not only is there a voice that comes with a message or a suggestion, Satan's big on suggestions, but that voice comes with a presence. Pastor Nancy said this, and it changed. It just, I knew it all along, but nobody had ever said that, and it's just so clear now. It comes with a presence. It comes with an influence or with an atmosphere, and all that the devil's saying, you feel it. Whenever he says you're going to fail, you feel like a failure. You feel it. Satan makes sure that it's not just a voice or a suggestion. It is a feeling. Because he can contact your flesh. Can't contact your spirit. But why does the feeling come? It's designed to convince you of what he's saying. It's designed to get you to accept it and say, well, it must be true. I'm such a failure. I'll never be able to fulfill what God called. And because you feel lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut, you feel like it's true, and you're tempted to just accept what he's saying. And it's no more true than anything else the devil says is true. You have to not take it just because you feel like it's true. There are things that feel like reality that are not reality. This is how you keep the reality. You got to keep the reality of this before you and keep on saying, no, this is reality. This is reality. When Paul had this opposition come against him, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, really, I mean, I could take a lot of time on this, but he's really saying, you already have all you need to win this. What you have is sufficient. Yes. Just use what you have and you'll get through. You see, not only is the revelation opposed, but the key to the victory of the over the opposition is in the revelation. Yes. Yes. Walking in the revelation is what will get you through what is opposing you. Hallelujah. In California, I was tempted to think it was about people. All that the devil's saying, this is about what people are doing or people are thinking. And God spoke to me and said, it's not about people, it's about the message. It's about the message. It's about the message. You're here to get the message. And I got the message. Amen. It's not about you being sickly every Wednesday night. It's about you not, he's trying to keep you from getting the message. I'm so tired. I'm preaching to the people that are here, so. Amen. So it comes with that feeling, that evil presence, and it's designed to convince you of what he's saying is true, trying to get you to believe it. Amen. Get good at not falling for that strategy. Get good at not falling for that strategy. You can feel like people just at Spirit of Faith don't love you anymore. Here's what you do as soon as service is over. Find somebody and just say, sure so love you, man. I appreciate you guys. Yeah, I appreciate you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And just get all that feeling off. I know from whence I speak. Just act like it's not even there. Yakety yak, it's not even there. Just act opposite of what it's. Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Don't glorify the opposition. Glorify the message, because that's what will get you through the opposition. It's necessary to become skilled with the message, or you'll never prevail over these things whenever they come. And therefore, you'll never take your place in this era. This era will not be led by the faint of heart. This will not be led by the faint of heart. It'll be led by people who take the message that's coming, the revelation that's coming, and says, I'm going to act on that, and I will answer these things. And I stood up in the hotel, but at one point I stood up in the hotel room and I lifted up my hands. I said, I'll just go on record before you, Father. I will never be quit because of this stuff. I will never, 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 never. Never. I will never quit. Never quit. I will never quit. And I got to laughing and dancing. Because I'm not going to finish my course oppressed. I'm going to finish my course with joy. Because I've answered it and it left. Are you still out there? Now, go over to Luke 4. We're wrapping this up. Wrapping it up. Luke 4 tells us about Jesus going through one of these seasons. Right before he entered his ministry. And then there was another one right before he went to the cross. So, what we learn then is what it says here in Luke 4, verse number, here it is. Luke 4, verse number 12. Well, verse 13. When the devil had ended all the temptation, remember the different temptations are mentioned here. When he had ended all the temptation, Satan departed from him. Here's the words I want you to get: for a season. Notice there are seasons that these things come. Yeah, well, my season's been ever since I got to church here. Well, learn to become more skilled. Just keep pressing in and get more skilled. God doesn't want you to live that way. It's not your whole life long. You know, it's just so hard to serve Jesus. You're doing something wrong. I'm not trying to get down on anybody, because I went through a three-year season of intense harassment before we came here to pastor, and I don't blame God for that, for not, you know, I wasn't as skilled as I am now. What took me 3.5 back then took me 1.5 this time. Now that doesn't mean it won't try to come back. It just simply said I'm gonna be able to deal with it just like I did last time. Ooh, I like it. Okay, but where are these? When do these seasons come normally? There's a couple different things, but we already read 1 Corinthians 16:9 by doors of opportunity. We already read 2 Corinthians 12. It comes at seasons where revelation is coming. Isn't that right? Sometimes these seasons go longer than they should, because we're not as skilled with the word. But hey, what else can you do other than just keep on practicing? Just keep on practicing. Just keep on practicing. And keep on pressing into the Spirit. Amen. Learning how to get over there and deal with these things. Not just mentally parroting things out of your head. But get your mind quiet and draw it up. Remember, the Bible calls it in Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the Word that you take that's down in here. Yes, sir. that you bring up and use against the enemy.
Amen.
The sword of the Spirit. So, but keep practicing. Get real good at it. Real. I mean, you don't get good by just coming to church and learning about it. That's important. You have to have, you know, so to speak, textbook knowledge of these things. But you need experiential knowledge. So when the yakety yak comes, let's say it's just your baby gets sick and the devil yakety yak yak, you know, the fever's gonna affect his brain and you know whatever. I mean, you know, he could be a thousand things. You better do this. Yeah, you better fear. Learn to answer it there. And practice. That's good practice opportunity. Pray for me. I'm going through it. I'm going to pray that you do the word is what I'm going to pray. And take this wonderful opportunity to become good. How are you going to stand before the Lord and hear, well done, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if you don't get good at doing what you're called to do? You were skilled. You were excellent. You took the word and practiced it. Good and faithful servant. I don't want to just be faithful. I want to be good. Amen. Like people practice if they're in sports, they practice and they get real good. Well, get real good when those thoughts come. You answer them, and don't just get oppressed for 3 hours and. Oh, I hate whenever this happens. No, don't do that. Get good. Part of being good is catching it right away. Say, no, you don't. Amen. Praise God. It's a maturing process, isn't it? Well, thank God for the word. You see, we need to occupy these places in the Spirit that these revelations come, and those places are opposed, but we just need to be real good at being doers of the word so we can stay there and not be knocked out. Amen? Because getting the revelation and bringing it and preaching it or whatever your supply is to this ministry to give us what we need to be able to spend our time in the Spirit and be getting these things, you realize whatever you do helps ministry, your prayers, your tithes and giving and so forth, that all helps us to continue to not have to be running and doing all that. So we can give ourselves to getting into these doors. But you occupying your place will help us to occupy our place and be able to bring these things to the body of Christ and lives can be changed. Because really, there's places in the Spirit that things are accomplished that they can't be accomplished anywhere else. Amen. If you're outside of those places, you can't really receive the revelation. Well, thank God for the truth. It's more important that we be in the Spirit and receive what God has for us there than we just have, the whole town coming to our church. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't want to reach. People could take that wrong and say, well, you're saying God doesn't want you. I didn't say that. I'm simply saying if having everybody in the whole town in our church means we can't occupy that room, then it'd be better that we occupy that room.
Yes. 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 Amen.
Brother Hagin used to say, because part of what I'm talking about, one of the keys to what I'm talking about is that a church be in unity. There's not strife, and people aren't being taken out by strife, and the devil's yakety-yak-yak in their ears. I get amazed. You see situations sometimes where something goes on in somebody's life, and they're, own home, own family or whatever, which we had nothing to do with, except trying to help them, ministering to them. And some reason or another, the devil gets them twisted in their minds and gets them mad at us.
Yeah.
I'm like, how does that happen? How do you connect, getting offended, won't come to all the services now. And what, how does that happen? It's just this yakety yak yak. That's what it is. Satan is a deceiver. But we got to stop falling for it. Stay in unity. Keep in love. Keep offense kicked out. And stay in your place. Occupy in your place. And we need to be corporately going to some places. Brother Hagin made the statement, he said, it's more difficult to get a larger crowd into unity than it is a smaller crowd. I've been, the Lord said that this is a new assignment for us, is to minister here at Spirit of Faith, to begin to minister on the things of the Spirit. This is one of the services tonight. We're doing that. Ministering on things of the Spirit includes, let's wrap this up with just a couple more verses. Let's go to Ephesians 2. Praise God. I've enjoyed the utterance tonight. Ephesians 2 tells us something about a local church. Really, you could apply it to any gathering of believers, but particularly it works, it applies real accurately to the local church. It says, verse 20, Ephesians 2, verse 20, you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The apostles and prophets, it wasn't them per se, it was the revelation that God used them to bring those revelations into the body of Christ. He used that. Those offices are going to bring revelations to the body more than, you know, some of these other offices. So, verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together. The building. What's that? Is this a natural building? No. This is a spiritual building. You remember, well, we'll read it in a second, but let's keep reading. All the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord. So, he's not talking about us individually here being the temple of God. Although we are. The Bible says individually we are. No, you're not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. So individually we are. When we leave here, the Holy Spirit lives in us. He goes with us. But here he's not talking about that. He said we are, let's read it again. Did you catch it? Verse 20 says, you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, talking about us different members framed together, grows unto a holy temple in the Lord. So, hold your finger there, and we're going to read that last verse, but go to 1 Peter 2, get a little more understanding of this. 1 Peter 2, verse number 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Now, that's not individually us being the individual house of God, which we are from other verses, but this verse is not talking about us individually. We are individually each one a stone. And that's what he's talking about. Ye all, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. In other words, yes, we're the temple of God individually, but God's plan is for us to come together. He wants to form a corporate spiritual house. A corporate spiritual house. That's what local churches are. They're a gathering of people together in unity, in one accord in the Spirit, and corporately they are contending to take their place to help build this house. Now it says there, you are lively stones, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Go back to Ephesians and let's finish this up. Verse number 21. You still following me? In whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows unto a holy temple in the Lord. So individually, we all have our place in this building. In whom ye also are builded together. What's this building going up to do? For a habitation of God through the Spirit. Talking about a spiritual house. Each one of us is a stone or a part of the building. We each take our place and we form a spiritual house, not a natural house. We have need of buildings. We need buildings to come together. Amen. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a spiritual house. What do I mean, a spiritual house? I mean a spiritual container, so to speak. Why? For God to fill it and inhabit it. Amen. We've already become that individually, but he wants a church, a local church, to form that corporately and become a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, why? The next chapter in Ephesians 3 says that you might be the Amplified says, that you might be a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Isn't that what verse says, verse 20? Where is that? Verse 19? I'm not trying to fill. Yeah, verse 19, filled with all the fullness of God. Amplified says filled, flooded with a body, wholly filled and flooded with God himself. That's fullness. Now, I just started preaching the next sermon, which I can't get into. That's fullness. That's not, that's the fullness of God's plan. God plans for church services to be full of the glory of God. Full of the move of the Spirit. And fullness is where this whole thing is moving to. The body of Christ is progressing to fullness. We in Ephesians, it says in chapter 5, are being sanctified and cleansed with the washing of the water of the Word, that God might present it to him, Jesus, a glorious church, full of the glory. Full of the glory.
Amen.
Where our services are, they just the glory of God comes in and things happen. Things happen. People get set free. People get released. People get revelation. People get direction for their lives. They get things, you know, washed off of them. They get things burnt off of them. They get with the fire of God and that yakety yak yak is shut down.
Amen.
And it doesn't happen in here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of that? That's just the beginning of some other things I'd like to preach at some point. But we need to be contending in one accord for the fullness. Remember Ephesians 4:16. It talks about the body of Christ also being built up. And it talks about Jesus from the head, from Jesus, the head, the whole body there. It says, from Jesus the head, the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body under the edifying of itself in love. By every joint supplying, not some people just coming to bum a blessing, but everybody bringing something. Every joint means every member. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a joint in this joint. Every joint supplieth. Whenever we all come bringing our supply, now not just helps ministry is part of that. Tithes and offerings is part of that, but that's not really the fullness of what supply means in the Bible. Philippians 1:19 says the supply of the Spirit is what really that's what supply is. It's something you bring in the Spirit. And when that all's in place, he said, every member working in the measure of every part, that's when increase takes place. You see that? Praise the Lord. Well, then that moves us further to the fullness of God's plan. It's not just up to us for the fullness of God's plan. We all have something to bring to fullness of God's plan, to the full revelation that God wants us to have. The fullness of the healing ministry, the fullness of, oh, I'm so excited. Praise the Lord.